Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is good for us to be together. It is a beautiful day outside. I don't mind days like this. It's kind of nice, and it's really great for all of you to be here, whether you're with us here in church or you're joining us online. Good morning, Tommy. Say hi to Mom and Dad for me, all right? There you are. And it is good for us to be in worship, adding our voices to those across time and space, giving thanks and praise to God, our Father, in this green and growing season after Pentecost. There are Sunday school bags on the back pew, so if there are children here, please make sure they get a Sunday school bag and a touch of just how much God loves them. Also, for families with children, who know children, who see children around, Vacation Bible School here at St. John's is this week. It's Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, the 12th, 13th, and 14th in the evening. We begin at 6 o'clock. There will be a light meal, so if it's coming straight from work or something, we've got you covered. And then we have Vacation Bible School until 8 p.m., and we're looking this year at the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control, and faithfulness. So I hope that you can be part of that, or the children you know can be part of that. Or if you want to just come and help us out, that would be wonderful. Vacation Bible School, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, this week. Today, we get to celebrate the 40th anniversary of the ministry that has been done at the thrift store. 40 years we have been a beacon of aid and care and help for the community around us. And so after we're finished with this service, you are welcome to join us out in the parking lot as we rededicate the thrift shop, as we give thanks for the people who are there currently, who have been there in the past, and hoping to inspire those to come and help us work in the future. Today, we celebrate 40 years at the thrift store. Next Sunday, July 17th, is an important Sunday for us here at St. John's. It's a congregational meeting day. In between services, we have a meeting. We need to discuss repairing the cracks and the problems in the exterior of the building that allow some of the water to come in and cause the problems on the interior of the building. So we'll be looking at how and who and how we're going to pay for all of those wonderful things. Also, at that meeting, we will have our second vote on the new Constitution. As you change a constitution or adopt a new one, it needs two consecutive readings at a congregational meeting, so that our second vote will be next week, which of course means that we're still working under the old constitution, so we need as many of you as possible to be with us so that we can make this happen. Sunday, July 17, in between services. There's a new Bible study that will be beginning on Thursday, July 21st, running for six consecutive weeks. We'll be looking at prayer. And so I hope that you will be able to join us as we meet in the parlor beginning at 7 o'clock in the evening on Thursday, July 21st. Please join us. And then finally, there are still some copies of the Lutheran Book of Worship or With One Voice that you are free to take home for your own use or to send to your cousin or whatever it is. We just want you to please pick up all the copies that you need by August 1st. It is a wonderful day for us to be in worship. So let us continue our worship by joining together in our gathering song, Everlasting. Let us rise and sing together. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O Lord God, your mercy delights us, and the world longs for your loving care. Hear the cries of everyone in need, and turn our hearts to love our neighbors with the love of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first lesson comes from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 9 through 14. The Lord your God will make you abundantly prosperous in all your undertakings, in the fruit of your body, in the fruit of your livestock, and in the fruit of your soil. For the Lord will again take delight in your prospering you, just as he delighted in prospering your ancestors. When you obey the Lord your God by observing his commandments and decrees that are written in the book of the law, because you turn to the Lord your God with your heart and with your soul. Surely this commandment that I am commanding you today is not too hard for you, nor is it too far away. It is not in heaven that you would say, who will go up to heaven for us and get it for us, so we may hear it and observe it. Neither is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will cross the other side of the sea for us and get it for us, so we may hear it and observe it. No, the word is very near to you. It is in your mouth and in your heart for you to observe the word of the Lord. The second lesson comes from Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. In our prayers for you, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. You have heard of this hope before in the word of the truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as it is bearing fruit and growing in the whole world, so it has been bearing fruit among yourselves from the day you heard it and truly comprehended the grace of God. This you learned from Ephesus, our beloved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has made known to us your love in the Spirit. For this reason, since the day we heard it, we have not ceased praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may lead lives worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, as you bear fruit in every good work, and as you grow in the knowledge of God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness, and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke in the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Just then, a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said to him, what is written in the law? What do you read there? And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you have given the right answer. Do this and you will live. But wanting to justify himself, the man asked Jesus, and my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? And the man said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. The Gospel of our Lord. In today's Gospel, Jesus is continuing his trip towards Jerusalem. Now, the 70 that Jesus had sent out as apostles in last week's Gospel, they're back, they're joyful. And they are all of them making their way south through Samaria when Jesus is stopped by a man with a question. The question is one that I think we've all had before, and we may actually have that question every day. What must I do? That simple question can plague us, because we know there's something that we should do, or that we might do, or that we ought to do, but what? The man was a lawyer by trade, and I'm sure that he is looking for answers. And primarily, he wants answers to know for his own sake. But of course, I'm sure that if he's, you know, gotten an answer that he likes, he's going to share it with other people, because we all want to know the answer to that question. Now, Jesus begins his answer by asking another question, of course. And he's asking what every good Jewish person should know. What is written in the law? Jesus is asking this man to consider what every good Jewish person prays morning and evening. It's the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That was the prayer for waking up in the morning and going to sleep in the evening in every Jewish life. They were to be reminded every day of what they were to do. Love. Love God. Love neighbors. The Ten Commandments stand as a lesson on what these can look like in your lives. And the stories filling the Old Testament are testimony of how these can be lived, and of course then how not to live them. Our reading today from Deuteronomy reminds us that these commands from God, these instructions for our lives to love God and love neighbor, are not difficult to understand or observe. It's not as if God is asking us to walk 100 miles or climb mountains or dig latrines or feed 5,000 people or do 50 push-ups or give up smoking or anything really hard. God is asking us to love. We can feel God's love in our lives every day. So it is close to us, near to us, in our hearts, and now we get to live it. And so this Jewish lawyer, who was presumably reminded every day, twice a day, of what he must do as God's child, still wants Jesus to give him an answer. He still wants Jesus to tell him. So when Jesus reminds him of what he already knows, this man asks another question. Luke tells us that this question was to justify himself, to make himself feel better, and if not better, then at least okay with how he has been behaving. I believe that the lawyer is looking to limit the amount that he needs to do. He wants to limit the recipients of this love to what would be a manageable number for him. Are my neighbors just the people who live next door to me? Or are my neighbors all the people who live on my block? Now, to be honest, for Stacy and me, there have been times when that answer is 4, whether it was people living next to us or even all the way down our block, right? Are they just my neighbors? Or are my neighbors the people I work with, the people who go to my church? Are my neighbors the people who look like me? Are my neighbors the people who shop at the same grocery store that I do? Who are my neighbors? But you see, each of these questions look to limit the number of people I have to be concerned about. And Jesus' answer is something else altogether. First of all, Jesus tells a story, all right? I love stories because they get me thinking in a whole different way. Jesus isn't trying to describe a particular set of actions or beliefs. Jesus wasn't working on the lawyer's knowledge. He was attempting to expand his understanding. So Jesus tells a story about a man walking from Jerusalem down to Jericho. Now this road is actually notorious for its steep and winding path filled with places where bandits can hide, and then long, lonely stretches where travelers can be waylaid. This traveler in Jesus' story is set upon by bandits. He is robbed, beaten, stripped, and left for dead. It's a tragedy that happens all too often, even to this day. These robbers had no regard for human life, and this man was close to death. Now, in his story, Jesus tells of three people who come near to this man. These people can help, right? The first two, a priest and a Levite, they are two men who know that they need to love God and love neighbors if anybody does. And they walk by on the other side of the road. Now, maybe they had a pitiful glance that way, but both of these people pass by nonetheless. Now, to be honest, both of these men had duties and responsibilities at the temple that would have been curtailed by touching blood or a dead person. They would have become ritually unclean if they had stopped and helped, and so they passed by, leaving the traveler a little closer to death each time. Now, in a typical story like this, the next passerby would have been a good, pious Jewish person. And I'm certain that the lawyer, as he was hearing Jesus tell that story, he was anticipating this. And he was starting to listen really hard, looking forward to Jesus either praising what he already does or telling him what more he can be doing. Instead, Jesus shakes his world and the entire world by making the next passerby a Samaritan. Now, Samaritans were hated by Jews simply because they were Samaritans. Samaritans are descended from those people left behind when the Assyrians came and dragged the 10 northern tribes of Israel off into exile. It's a mixture of some Jews and some other people that Assyria sent and transported in from elsewhere. Now, they worshiped the same God, Yahweh, but they chose Bethel for their worship and not Jerusalem. And so they were looked upon by Jewish people as mongrels, as less than human. They were always the other, and they were never to be trusted, spoken to, or even acknowledged. But in Jesus' story, it's a Samaritan who stops and helps. The Samaritan was the one moved with pity to bandage the man, put him on his own animal, find an inn, and help him recover. He paid the innkeeper and promised more if necessary. The Samaritan went above and beyond that call of duty, and he showed graciousness and care. He truly loved another. And so now this lawyer has a struggle, because as a good, pious Jewish person, he's supposed to see the priest and Levites in the best possible light. As a good, pious Jewish person, he's supposed to disregard anything a Samaritan ever does. And Jesus' next question gives him, and it gives all of us, pause. He asks, which of these three was a neighbor to the man? Jesus wants us to identify with the man left for dead. If you were beaten and naked and left for dead, what would you be praying for? Would you be praying for priests and Levite to leave you alone so they don't get unclean? Would you be praying for people who put ritual purity above life? Or would you want someone to help? Yes, we want someone to help. And so Jesus tells the lawyer, go and do likewise. Many people take that to mean that we need to stop and help all of the people we find on the side of the road. Great! Some take that to mean that we go above and beyond when we do help someone. Now, both of these are valid ways to show love for your neighbor. But Jesus is trying to expand our understanding and not limit it. The lawyer was looking for instructions that he could use to say, this one I love and those other ones I don't really have to. And Jesus wants him to put himself in the shoes of the ones needing help. You see, for Jesus, all people around us are our neighbors, not just the ones on your block or in your church. And as we see needs, we get to help as we are able. And we get to help even more if that's possible. Here at St. John's for the last 40 years, we have been part of the ministry at the thrift store, helping as we are able, whether we volunteer or we donate, whether we're part of distributing coats to people every year. We have tried as we are able to be a blessing. And that's absolutely fantastic, and we celebrate that, especially today as we celebrate 40 years. But the truth is, there is always more that can be done. As we awake every day, it is good for us to remember that we are called to love God and to love our neighbors. And learning from this story, it is good for us to remember that our possibilities for loving neighbor are never limited. In fact, we show God how much we love God by loving and caring for each other. So let us love our neighbors. Let us love our family and friends, strangers and enemies. With the love that God showers down on us, not looking for limitations, but rather for how we can share the unlimited love of God with all we meet. Amen. Please rise. In remembrance and celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried, ascended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the Church, the creation, and all in need. Good and gracious God, you have placed your word of love in the heart of your Church. Fill your Church with compassion, that we bear the fruit of your healing mercy to a broken world. Lord, in your mercy, you created the earth with seeds sprouting up to new life. We pray for the flourishing of fruit trees and orchards, vines and bushes. Prosper the work of those who plant, tend, harvest, and gather. Lord, in your mercy, show us your ways and teach us your paths of justice and love. Raise up community and national leaders to challenge and dismantle social structures that perpetuate ethnic, racial, and religious profiling and discrimination. Lord, in your mercy, come near to all in need. Orchestrate kindness in the face of cruelty, hope where there is despair, love in the face of neglect, comfort where there is death, and healing in illness. Lord, in your mercy. Compassionate God, we pray for those who need your healing presence. Bless all who suffer illness and disease, who struggle with injury and accident. We pray especially for Jack, Carol, Fran, Sharon, Adrian, Kristen, Emily, Jean and Brian, John and Kathy, and Tom. May the healing presence of Christ rest upon them and all. Lord, in your mercy, turn this community toward neighbors in need. Bring aid and support to those who are poor, beaten down, abused, forgotten, silenced, or avoided. Gracious God, we thank you for the ministry of the thrift store these 40 years. Continue to bless our efforts to love our neighbors as Jesus inspires us to do. Lord, in your mercy, We give you thanks for the saints who revealed your love and mercy in this life. Inspired by their witness, strengthen us and to live in hope. Lord, in your mercy, God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us, pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord grant that we see what needs to be seen and do what needs to be done. May the Lord bless and protect you all. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you all with favor and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I remind you that we are going to meet out in the parking lot by the thrift store to celebrate 40 years of that ministry. And if you can join us, that would be wonderful. But whether you join us or not, I hope that your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope.
To make God's vision our mission.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your heart.